Thanks for listening to the Struggle Podcast, where godly guys are on a journey to define the modern masculine. And now your host, Mr. John Ray.
Good evening, podcast family. Welcome to episode 7 of The Struggle. Tonight's episode is on a very serious topic. Not that the rest of them haven't, but this one carries some pretty heavy weight with it. So we're going to forego all the pleasantries, forego all the introductions. You know all of these guys. They've been here before. Israel, Fern, Ralph, and David are all on tonight's podcast. I am your host, Johnny Ray. We're just going to jump right into it, because tonight we are talking about a serious problem in this country, the culture of rape and sexual assault against women. We have some very important things to tell you about, some important facts, some important opinions that we feel other men out there need to hear. So we're just going to go ahead and get right into it. Who would like to bring up the first point?
David?
Well, you know, just to kind of frame the conversation, and you know, we know that there's a lot going on in the news on this subject, and it seems like more and more we're seeing more and more of it come about, not only with the Me Too movement, you know, it's been coming on for some time now. And so I think one of the things that we talked about doing was dissecting the issue and kind of talking about some of the history behind it and why it's important for men to talk about this subject. You know, just kind of from a personal experience, I've shared with the guys that, you know, growing up, I remember several situations where, you know, I'm hanging out with a group of guys, there's some girls around, you know, in the presence of alcohol, and things got carried away. And it seemed that the theme was, you know, that there was an idea of an entitlement in the guys somewhere that surfaced within them. And I remember a couple of times, you know, having to pull away some teammates that were basically going to ruin their lives by making a dumb decision. And so even after, you know, experiencing those things and seeing how that mindset kind of comes to be, I think it's important that we kind of look at where that comes from. And so I just want to kind of put it out there. What do you guys think? What do you think that kind of that mindset comes from in guys?
I think it becomes, well, you know, this is one of the things that we talked about earlier in the week. It comes with a sense of entitlement that I think a lot of young men are brought up to have, where maybe your father wasn't necessarily a, you know, sexist pig, but you were still brought up with a very misguided idea of what a woman's role is. I know that for me, my father was unfaithful to my mother, and just by that action alone, it kind of opened my eyes to maybe women are not supposed to be respected as much as my grandfather told me that they were, because I saw my dad not have a whole lot of respect for my mother. So I think initially it all begins with how a young man is raised. That kind of fosters his opinion and his viewpoint on what the role of a woman is. And that can be dangerous if it's not done correctly.
Yeah, I think that we talk a lot in our group about how God intended things to be and how original sin kind of mixed everything up, you know. And I think most guys, I see it in my son, he's only 2, but he wants to dominate things. You know, he wants to control, he wants to be in charge, he wants to dominate. And I think most men in some area of their lives, we want to dominate. And when sin enters and mixes and messes all of that up, we now have a female who we view as weaker, and there's an instinct there to think that we can dominate them, you know, and it's wrong, but it's, you know, it's instinct to want to dominate. And when that is, you know, it's taken out of the appropriate context, you know, like it leads to all sorts of bad things in all sorts of areas. And rape culture in America, you know, I think is an example of that.
Right. I honestly, to kind of piggyback off of your point, Ralph, it's can be kind of, you know, pigeonholed as well with like a pride thing. We all know that as men in general, you know, just the pride issue that we have, we don't like being told no. We don't like being told that we're wrong. And we see it as somebody telling us what to do. When in that case, you know, you know, the whole no means no, we see it not necessarily as honoring or respecting somebody's response to in advance, but we see it as being told no, being told mm-hmm. we can't have something that we want, or being, like David said, or like you said, Ralph, we're being dominated because we're not having the ultimate decision. You know?
Right.
And I think, well, you know, what's interesting also is that right now you just said no means no, but somewhere along the lines, things have gotten twisted to where people interpret no as yes. You know,
no means try harder.
Yeah. But we've heard that, you know, like in TV and things like, oh, no means, you know, no means yes. You know, and, you know, we just, for some, you know, like you said, men don't want to, they don't want to take no for an answer, or they fear, or they don't want to get rejected.
Yeah. And that leads to the objectifying of women, like we talked about, you know, and we heard on Jerry Dugan's podcast, the lady that he had on there that works with rape and assault victims. She said, the mentality behind, you know, the modern guy's perspective is this idea of objectification. And when we start looking at people in that form and in that way, you know, it's just something else, like you said, Ralph, to dominate. So I think that's an important point.
And I think as guys, we learn it at a very early age. I was just thinking about this earlier this week, but when I was growing up, I was the youngest in my family. It was just me and my sister. My aunt lived with us, and my sister always shared a room with my aunt. For whatever reason in my house, my sister and my aunt always had the smaller room. Whatever house we lived in, they had the smaller room and I had the bigger room. From the point that I was 10, 11 years old, I had a bigger room than my sister, who's 5 years older than me, and sharing a room with my aunt. But for whatever reason, my parents viewed that I was the boy and I needed a bigger room, right? So, you know, kids at an early, early age, especially boys, are taught that the rules are different for them, you know? And so that just feeds into this idea that we can have what we want.
Yeah.
You know.
So we've kind of covered exactly where this comes from as far as we as men are considered, and it sometimes starts at a young age. I want to hear from all of you guys are married guys, and I know Ralph and David are fathers of daughters. Explain to us a little bit about what you've experienced in raising these young women and maybe some of their experiences and how they've already been through something like this in just their short young lives.
Go ahead, Ralph.
Yeah, so I was talking to Katie about this today. I've got a daughter who is 17 years old, a senior in high school. And I, you know, she knew that I was preparing for this podcast. And so I asked her again, you know, if she had been assaulted. She said the most interesting thing. She said, not like assaulted. I mean, guys have grabbed me in the hall while I'm walking by, you know, going to class, and you don't really know who grabbed you. And I thought to myself, you know, Katie is being groomed to be a victim,
right?
Because she doesn't view that as assault.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't know that she really knows how to combat that. Like, how do you tell, you know, a person in authority, somebody, one of those boys grabbed me.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you who. There's a group of us walking together, you know, and she viewed it kind of as something she just has to put up with.
Right.
And so, you know, I think for me, it's, you know, we've talked from an early age about being vocal. Nobody's going to hurt your family. If somebody assaults you, oftentimes with a little kid, they tell them, you know, they're going to hurt your family, hurt your parents if they share anything. You know, we had all of those conversations, but none of those have empowered Katie enough to feel like that was an assault. You know, so it worries me. You know, I think a little bit later in the podcast, we'll talk about kind of some of the things that you try to instill in your kids, and especially your daughters, about who they are in Christ, about self-worth, so that they feel like they can stand up for themselves. But it really is hard when I'm talking to my teenager, and already it seems like she's been groomed to feel like being touched unwanted is okay. Something that she just has to deal with as a female.
Right. David?
Yeah, you know, I have two daughters, both are in college now, and, you know, they were brought up with a very strong mother. And from a very early age, you know, Anna has always spoke to them about, you know, the respect and the self-worth that they have for themselves. But I can totally see what Ralph is talking about. These little things that we let kind of give a pass on, you know, just can really begin to boil over and cause things, because we, you know, in our minds, we think sexual assault, we're thinking dark alleys, we're thinking, you know, walking from a building into their car, you know, we're not thinking a party, not necessarily, you know, I mean, I think Anna did a really good job of teaching the girls the whole, you know, never cover, you know, always, never drink a drink that you haven't been around all the time, and you know, never be on the lookout for guys that are going to take advantage of that sort of thing. But, you know, those are the realities that women have to live with, that guys, you know, don't even second think about them, is that right. The freedoms that we're enjoying as men are not freedoms that every woman has ever, you know. There's not an hour that goes by that their freedoms are not encroached on. And, you know, this goes back to kind of the idea of where guys went off the, you know, where we took this waywardly. You know, I think God created, you know, the father and the male physically stronger, but for reasons and reasons where, you know, we are supposed to be a strength. We are supposed to be a compassionate provider and protector. And, you know, I'm not talking in terms of taking care of that women need to be taken care of. I'm talking about the fact that there's a natural order in the world, and our place in that natural order is to be that strength.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I think it's
you raised two very important points, and I'm going to get to the second one here in a minute, but the first one I want to hear from Fernan is, because I know that they're both raising young men, and Iz, who is a brand new father of a baby boy, and then Fern, who has had his hand in raising three young men. So starting with Iz, knowing what you know about this epidemic in the country and the absolute disrespect of women, the assault of women on a daily basis, what are you instilling in your young man, or are you yet, or what do you plan to tell him about the proper way to treat a woman?
Well, I've you know, even aside from my spiritual walk, I've learned to, you know, that I have to honor my wife, honor women, but especially my wife. And so that's something that I really want him to see. And so I try to show affection to her in front of him, and, you know, just show him that there's a, you know, a special love between her and I. You know, I want to instill in him just to, like all the guys have said, respect women, you know, respect his mother, but also to understand, I want him to really understand, you know, the love for God, so that it could just trickle down, you know what I mean? And us being the examples, you know, in his life, to show him, like, son, there's certain ways you act. Even when you start getting into, you know, adolescence or, you know, teen years, you know, you don't put your hands on women a certain way, you know? So, that's my plan right now. So,
that's great. And Fern, you have a firsthand account of that. You have two boys that are teenagers in high school. Give us a little background about what they've maybe told you about what they've experienced with the girls at their school, and maybe seen the way that some of their male friends are behaving. And what are you doing to come, you know, to help combat that action?
Definitely the stories, man. like Ralph was sharing with Katie, I mean, they're almost like desensitized, you know, and like, oh yeah, you know, they tell me they see kids, man, you know, making out or all over each other, groping all over each other in the hallways. And I guess, again, that's kind of become the norm. And remembering from when I was in high school, how that was kind of like something that would get you written up, get you in trouble, and just progressively getting more and more accepted, more acceptable. The accountability kind of gone out the window. And what I've noticed is as they get older, man, before the words and the sit-down talks and stuff were great and very effective, but nothing at this age. And I think it'll continue to get more and more in depth as they get older. But the example that is set here at the house, these boys know that if they really want to get on my bad side really quick, they'll dishonor their mom. That's not the big no-no. That's the big hell no-no. That is the queen of this household. That's you honor that woman. I mean, you want to talk back to me, that's more acceptable than giving your mom a hard time. As we're married couples have arguments, disagreements, fights. If I'm going to be bold enough to have a disagreement, an argument in front of my boys with their mother, I better be man enough to apologize and own my part of it. Absolutely. In front of them as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Giving them that again. Okay, you saw the bad, look at the good. Just the example. Thank God these boys have kind of received that. And that's also a prayer of mine that I pray for them every night. As I'm just dozing off, that these men just, you know, the thing is, like, I myself, we don't have daughters. But my future daughter-in-laws are out there dealing with that now.
Yeah,
that's right.
So I'm praying for them as well. You know, that's not right for them. And sadly, these boys may have to deal with, but their wives may have some experiences,
right,
that they're going to have to take on. And
so we've kind of covered that this all starts at a young age, and it has to do a lot of generational upbringing as far as what the men in a family, what their idea of what the women in the family are considered. And as Fern said, it starts with respect of the mother in the home. That's a boy's first, you know, his first love is his mom. And that respect being instilled at a young age, I think, is key to how that young man will go on to treat women in the future. Now, Ralph, you've had some interesting points, and as we expand this beyond the family and moving out into the world and how a man treats women, you've had some interesting things to say. I'd like you to share some of those.
Well, you know, like, I think that one of the things that we lose focus of growing up is that, and I'm just going to be very open and honest, and I think me and Iz relate to this, you know, in our discussions, you know, our kind of pre-production discussions. But, you know, when I was a teenager and even, you know, after my divorce, like, when no was communicated to me, I was trying to press the right buttons so that no became a yes. You know, mm-hmm. I knew what I wanted. And on my mind was not necessarily what my partner wanted, but how do I get, what can I do so that she will give me what I want, right? And I think that we have to figure out a way in our personal relationships with other men to have these discussions. I'll be honest, this is not a discussion I've ever had outside of the relationship I have with you guys. Never had with a coworker. Never had it with a friend over a drink, you know, like it doesn't come up. And I think a lot of guys view it all the same. But I think that I'm trying to paradigm shift in my life personally and figure out, how do I bring the subject up with people who are in their young 20s, you know, the people that I know in my life that are in college, to try to tell them, hey, you know, when you're starting to press those buttons, first of all, you know, you want to be careful with all of that stuff, because once you get the engine revved up, it's hard to stop. And that is not the area where you want to go. You want to be able to honor God in that area. I've failed in the past in that area. You want to be able to honor God and follow biblical principles. But in all of our dealings with females, you have to listen to the words and respect them as an equal, right? What are they communicating to me, and listen rather than be solely focused on what I want to say next, what I want to accomplish in this communication. Like, we have to start looking at females as equals in the way we communicate, in the approach that we take for life. And until we do that, I mean, it's going to continue to, you know, this issue is going to continue to be an issue that females, unfortunately, are stuck with, you know?
David, you had your finger raised. You had a point.
Yeah. Ralph was talking about how do we convey this to the younger guys. And I think one of the things that younger guys respond to, just because it's kind of inherent in us, is when we talk about the ideas of honor and integrity. And, you know, they respond to those things in terms of, you know, their character, but we need to make this part of their character development. John Eldredge talks about the idea of the transference of honor by men and fathers to their sons. And it's a transference, that it's a standard that we have to set with them and say, you have to realize that in the heat of the moment, you're going to make a decision with a girl that you're not ready, and you have no place in your life to deal with the ramifications. And that idea needs to be transferred then to the idea of honor. If you really honor this person, and if you really honor yourself, and if you honor this family, you need to consider those things before you put yourself in a situation where you might get carried away.
So now let's look at some things. Go ahead.
Yeah. Just to kind of, again, piggybacking off of what David's saying, there's this really quick, the world's really quick to define a male or a boy the machismo, the alpha male. What needs to happen is, we don't need any more alpha males, man. We need alpha men, the way the Bible describes men. Like, yeah. The way alpha male just kind of gets the whole primitive aspect of almost animalistic desires or traits of a man, and capitalizes on that. No.
Like a Neanderthal dragging a woman around by her hair.
We all seen that cartoon, Clunk with the club, you're coming with me. No. Again, that honor, what the Bible says a man should be, and let's go alpha on that.
That's right.
Let's go hardcore on that, what the Bible says.
John, I have a question for you, John. You know, we over and over throughout the week, the Me Too movement, you know, was a topic of our conversations. And, you know, we see it in the news, we see it in pop culture, you know, everywhere we look, you know, we see it. And most of it is we see it kind of, you know, in pop culture, really. But we don't really think about it in terms of the females that are in our lives. And during our conversations, you expressed some reservations about the movement. And as our conversations continued, you know, I kind of saw you kind of change kind of your overall approach. Will you unpack that a little bit about, because I think a lot of the listeners are going to find themselves in the same place that you found yourself earlier in the week. And I think our goal is to get them to where you were at later in the week.
So it's actually like a three-part process that happened for me. The first being, which is kind of like a general idea of why I am not actively involved in social media. There's a couple different reasons, but one of the biggest ones is that, to me, what I found is trying to live a Christian life and trying to love my fellow man as much as I possibly could, with every person's issues broadcast for the world, I found it increasingly difficult to show compassion to everybody that should be shown compassion to. And what one of the last things that really just kind of, you know, made me so jaded was this Me Too movement. And I know that that's a horrible thing to say, but what Ralph is talking about is the transition that took me from my cynicism to where I am now.
Hey, John, and just let me jump in there, because I think for any listener, female or male, it takes huge courage to admit that, you know, what you just said.
Yeah. What it seemed like to me is that, and I'm probably very misguided and way off here, but what it seemed like to me is there was a couple of very high profile accusations that were made in pop culture, and then it just snowballed after that. And from those very few, of course, the Me Too movement began, and then it was you know, a bunch every day. And I genuinely and honestly started to doubt the credibility of every one of those accusations. It just seemed to me like maybe a woman was in it for the notoriety. She was in it for the popularity. If she's a celebrity, it's going to further her media presence. Maybe she's in it for a big payday. That's a horrible way to think, but I could not help but think that. Now, granted, I also knew that some of the things that I were hearing had to be unabashedly true. Harvey Weinstein, there was no way that that man was not guilty of the crimes that he was accused of.
Right.
So, all of this being said, what finally happened to me during the last part of this transition is I started to talk to the men in my life. I started to pull all this from kind of this broad worldly spectrum and in pop culture and on social media. I started to pull all this in and said, I told myself, let's focus on the women in my own life. And I'm going to stop, you know, this is going to sound horrible, but I'm going to stop caring about all the women in the world. And I'm going to focus on the women in my life, the women that are close to my family, my brothers. And so when I made it that when I put it under that little microscope, then I finally understood if I was a woman and I am one voice in a voice of hundreds of thousands, what am I going to do to be heard? That's what the Me Too movement is about.
Right.
It's about women coming together in solidarity and saying, I know that you've been assaulted. You've been assaulted. I've also been assaulted. Now, the other thing that I expressed to the gentleman here in this podcast is what I've learned just by listening to women is that when it comes to us, men are fixers. That's what we want. It's part of our nature.
Yeah.
This movement is not about things being fixed. More often than not, they just want to be heard. They want us to understand. Like Ralph said, he has a 17-year-old daughter who does not comprehend that a boy touching her without her consent is assault. They just want us to understand what the problem is. And now I finally get it. It's not about look at me. Don't even look at me. Just hear me and understand me.
Yeah. And I think a good practical thing that I think every man listening to the podcast needs to realize is that we don't have to be the trier of fact, right? I don't have to decide who's more credible. I don't have to decide who's telling the truth. Like, I'm not sitting on a jury. You know, on these big cases that have been publicized, I don't know those people. I'm never going to meet them. But when a female in my life builds the courage to admit that she was assaulted, I don't have to decide whether she's credible or not. I don't need to decide if a guy really did it or not. All I need to do is say, you know what can I do to support you?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, what can I do to help support you? It wasn't me that perpetrated the act, but I can tell her from a man's perspective that I apologize that this guy would be so off the map that he would feel like he could take, you know, something that was precious from her, even her safety, right? Her self-esteem. And manipulate it, use it, crush it the way he would, right? That he would violate her in that way. Like, I can apologize for what another man did. I can be there for support. But so often we think like, oh, I've got to decide, you know, am I the trier of fact? Who's telling the truth here? You know, I don't know that that's really that important when it comes to the females that surround us or in our lives and listening and supporting them.
Yeah. Great. So, wow. This was a fast episode. We're already coming up on our 30 minutes. So what I want to do here, because I know that all five of us have a closing point that we want to make. So we're going to do this. I'm a fledgling writer, and we call this an elevator pitch. If you have 60 seconds to prove your point or to get your point across to somebody, and you have to do it in 60 seconds, because that's usually the average time in an elevator with an executive, you have to be very very well spoken, and you have to have your thoughts in order. So here we go. I'm going to go first in 60 seconds. What I've learned about this entire thing is that there are more women out. What woman hasn't been assaulted? Actually, that's what I've heard from a lot of women. It is a very common occurrence. It happens to just about every woman at one point in her life. We as men need to make better strides to make sure that the respect of women is fostered to the next generation. And now to the women in our lives that it's happened to, they don't need us to fix it. They just want us to understand and be on their side, like Ralph said, unconditionally. That's where I'm at. David?
I think, you know, I want to appeal to all the, especially the, anybody that has influence over a young man or anybody has influence on the next generation, that it's so important that we are sharing the respect and the honor of women. Because if we don't do that, we're already behind the eight ball by the time they become, 12, 13, 14, 15. So it starts in the home with the way we treat our the women in our life, the way we're modeling that for our boys, and it has to appeal to that honor and to that integrity and to that character that we try to instill them in sports, and in business and in all these other areas. We need to instill that in the areas of respecting women, and I think if we can do that, and if we have all the strong men out there. That are in powerful positions taking this same attitude, we can change this whole, we can have a paradigm shift throughout this country.
Great. Thank you. Ralph?
Yeah, so I shared this with you guys. When I was in my 20s coming off of a divorce, I'm embarrassed to even say that I would say this, but to a good friend of mine, I'm back in the dating scene, and I told him, man, knowing what I know now, I'm only going to date girls who don't have good relationships with their dads. Because... It was just, like taking candy from a baby. I could do whatever I wanted. And I'll just admit that is the approach I took in dating. And so for me, I'd like to talk to all the fathers out there who have young ladies in their home. You have to instill in your daughters the concepts of self-worth, power, independence, so that the most important thing is that if they were to be assaulted, that they don't walk away from the event feeling like they did something wrong. Absolutely. Because so often women are afraid to say anything. They're afraid to cry out, afraid to share, afraid to press charges because the world has made them feel like they did something to bring this on them on themselves. And they didn't do anything. It doesn't matter how short the skirt was. It doesn't matter if she was drinking. All of those things, none of those things matter. It was a man who was brought up wrong, whose own sinfulness created a misconception about how women should be treated. And so I think the fathers of females have to figure out a way to instill self-worth, identity, power, strength, confidence, all of those important things that we need in our young ladies.
We need to do our job.
For women to be able to protect themselves.
Yeah, we need to do our job. And that's our job. Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you, Fern.
I would say... Yes, the honor and the respect is paramount. The words of adoration, in front of our young men. If we have, like David said, if we're around the next generation, if we have a place of influence, yes, the words of affirmation towards our wives, our daughters, those women in our lives. But as just to kind of add to that. The honoring and the respecting through a lifestyle of sacrifice.
That's good.
Being a man has a lot to do with sacrifice. Not mine. It's the opposite. Yeah. It's that
my needs are not always that important.
Exactly. How can I serve you? Yeah. How can I serve you? Instead of what can I get out of it? That's the core attitude of this rape culture as far as the majority of the men. What can I get out of the situation? No. How can I serve you? Well, she's had way too much to drink. Not what can I get out of this? How can I serve her?
How do I protect her?
How can I keep her safe? Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know what? You want to boast about what happened that night with that girl who was really, really, no. Boast about that. Yeah. The sacrifice of that you may have wanted it, sacrifice to give that up. Does it matter? Does it count? I don't know. Serve others. serve others, especially our ladies. Especially our ladies.
Amazing. It's real good. Thank you, Fern. Iz, close us out. 60 seconds. What have you learned as we prepared for this and through this discussion tonight?
One of the things that I've kept in my kept in mind for a very long time, and now that I'm married and have a family, I want to really express to all the men and young men out there that that we, like the guys have said, we need to honor the women in our lives, the females around us. But really listen to them, listen to what they have to say, what their feelings, you know, I mean, I know they probably go to their, female friends or mothers or someone, a female figure to talk to, but, you know, if it's a woman that you're looking to possibly have a long, something long-term with, then I would say definitely invest, that time in, to them and know, for them to know their worth. I think women also, if we could speak to the women for a little bit, they need to know their worth, because I think there's a lot of women out there, a lot of girls who there's so many things out there that tells them how they're supposed to look, how they're supposed to act or whatever, but and I don't know if they always know their worth, and I think that's one of the, that's because of that, I think men tend to take advantage of that. Mm-hmm. And so I try to express to like my wife's friends or who are, you know, kind of single, know your worth, know what you're worth, and men will respect that. They will. If you set that tone, if you set that standard, they will respect it. And if they don't, then they weren't meant to, they're not meant for you.
I think you just touched on a great idea for one of our next future episodes, is how does a godly man make sure that he's instilling the worth in the women around him, and maybe even the women that he doesn't know? How can a godly man show a woman who she truly is in the eyes of God? Thank you guys for joining us tonight. I know we're a little over, but like I said last week, this was a very important subject that we wanted to make sure we tackled with all the grace and all the scripture that we absolutely could. We definitely prayed really hard on this. So thank you everybody that tuned in to listen. You can find us on social media on M46 and on The Struggle on Facebook. So leave us some comments, maybe some questions. We will be sure to address all of those. And join us next week. I want to thank all of you guys for being here, Fern, David, Ralph, and Iz. And as always, we love that our listening base is growing. We love you guys for tuning in to us. This is The Struggle Podcast. Thank you. We will see you next week. Good night.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.